the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. We'll get there in just a moment. First, I want to read to you the words of Jesus from John 12, probably familiar to all of us. In John 12 and verse 32, Jesus says this, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." One translation reads like this, "If I'm lifted up, I will make everyone want to come to me." I was reminded of that this last week. Ultimately, the sum and summation of all that we would do here. We lift him up so that having been lifted up, he would in turn draw everyone. Everyone. That's you. That's me. That's the one struggling. That's the one still not yet believing. That's the sick. That's the suffering, the discouraged and the downtrodden, the upset and unsettled. However you would describe yourself today, whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, that would define who you are now, how you're feeling now, how you're processing life now. It doesn't matter the words you would use. Listen to me. You're part of the everyone. We lift him up so that he can draw us, so that he can draw everyone to himself, so that having been lifted up, he can reveal himself to us more clearly, making us then want to come to him. I believe it's the real work. It's always been the real work that God would be doing in the world. Everything that he's done, everything that he's doing, every aspect of everything that he's doing, everything that he's wanting to do, ultimately to serve this purpose, to lift Jesus up so that he can draw everyone to himself. Don't miss that this morning. Is God concerned about what happens with COVID? Sure he is. Is God concerned who's elected president of this country for the next 4 years? I believe he is. Is God concerned about the economy, job security, people having enough to make it? Sure, but listen, most of all, above all, God is concerned that in it all, the sun is lifted high. We can't forget that. Now, I don't make light of those things, but we can't get sidetracked. We can't forget that the main thing is still the main thing. We can't neglect making the main thing still to be the main thing, and that's that Jesus be lifted high. Listen to me. No matter what happens with COVID, let there be an increase in cases tomorrow. Let the virus disappear on Tuesday. It doesn't matter. Tomorrow, Tuesday, and into Wednesday, and in fact, every other day, we'll still need Jesus. No matter what happens on November 3rd, listen to me, we're still going to need Jesus on November 4th. Let the stock market crash tomorrow. Let it make us all rich. Let us lose the job. Let us get promoted in it. It doesn't really matter. We're still going to need Jesus. And it'll still be the work of the Father to lift high the Son. That's the work God ultimately wants to accomplish in the world today. And I believe in this place this morning, the reminder today that what we need is Jesus above any and everything else. Who we need to prioritize, it's Jesus. Who we need to magnify and glorify. Who we need to honor. Who we need to exalt and lift up, it's Jesus. As a church, our worship, it's for Jesus. The message, it's all about Jesus. Our sole objective on any given Sunday, it's Jesus. It's to lift him up so he can draw us and everyone else to himself. Our ultimate objective, any given day of our lives, it's Jesus. Jesus, that in us and through us, he would be lifted up so that he can draw us and those around us to himself. Really, this is true compared to Jesus. Nothing else matters. I believe this is equally true. As a church, all we really have to offer, it's Jesus. I know you're good people, but still it's true. All you really have to offer It's Jesus. All we have to offer one another, it's Jesus. All we have to offer this sin-stricken world filled with chaos and hatred and anger and racism and discord and strife and animosity and sickness and poverty, all we have to offer, it's Jesus. And don't forget, that's not a problematic thing. Rather, it's good and right that we live in that reality. All we have to offer is Jesus. That's right. That's good. That's okay. Because all that matters is Jesus. No matter how bad it gets, still all we need is Him. No matter how bad it gets, if we have Him, we still have all that we need. We lift Jesus up because we need Him. He really is the only thing that matters. And we lift Him up because it's His name, after all, that is above every other name. We're in a highly intense political season right now. And I don't mean to make light of it. Church, be careful how you vote. You need to be careful who you vote for, what they stand for. At stake, at least in part, in this election, abortion, the sanctity of human life. You better double check and make sure before you cast that vote, you know where they stand related to that. Can I ask you this morning, the alternative? Are you okay voting for someone and you don't even know where they stand? Are you okay voting for someone knowing full well that they want to protect and even increase the opportunity for babies to be killed? At stake in this election, at least in part, the family, human sexuality and gender, religious liberty, the courts, and who's appointed to them. I've shared it with you before. I don't remember ever feeling about any election like I do this one. And I'll be honest, those feelings just seem to be reinforced more and more as again and again and again. I talk to other believers and I talk to other pastors. I listen to sermons where the message is exactly the same. I really don't believe it's just me. I sense everyone feels it. I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I do believe America stands at a crossroads. And if we're not careful, we're going to be in real trouble. We're in a highly intense and important political season right now. Two names in America, even the world, everyone is focused on. But listen to me, church. I don't care about the political climate. I don't care about even its importance. We can't forget this. It's not about the two names. It's about the one name that is above every other name. It's about the name of Jesus. One thing I can assure you of, the world doesn't need any politician's name being lifted up. But what it needs for sure is the name of Jesus lifted high so that everyone can be drawn to Him. One name, not one politician. Listen, church, our hope does not rest in one politician, not in one political party. Listen to me, not one church. Not one pastor, not one philosophy of ministry, not even one doctrine of ministry, but one name, that name that's above every other name. The only name that matters, the name of Jesus. And though it's certainly something I hope we would do every Sunday, really, what in the world are we doing if not doing this? Today, here in this place, we're going to lift up Jesus. We're going to lift up His name. What I want to do is I want to take you through sort of a whirlwind tour through the book of Ephesians. And we're going to lift Jesus high this morning as we turn our eyes upon Him and see all that He's done for us. All the reasons why His is the name above every other name. All the reasons why He really is all that we need. And in that, all the ways by which He would draw us to Himself today. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. And here it is, you see it, in Christ. It's in Jesus. It's because of Jesus that every spiritual blessing has been made available to us. No wonder we lift up his name. No wonder we glorify him and exalt him. Every good gift that you have, it comes from God. Everything that you would count as good in your life right now, it comes to you because of God. And it only comes to you from God by way of Jesus. One writes this, those in Christ have every spiritual blessing needed for spirit, soul, and body. Every blessing you need for your spirit, every blessing you need for your soul, every blessing you need for your body, for the past, for the present, for the future, for salvation, for service, for time and eternity, both now and forevermore. The spiritual blessings believers have in Christ encompass every need and every aspect of their lives. We lift up Jesus this morning. We celebrate Jesus. We honor and exalt him because in him, every blessing we would ever need and or want has been granted to us. Verse 4, for he chose us. You see it? In him, before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. You have been chosen, nearly 8 billion people on the planet. In Jesus, God has chosen you. He's picked you, and he's made you to be his child, not because of any good in you. The Bible is clear. You were his enemies. It was because of your sins his son had to die. But nevertheless, in Christ, he has adopted you. You get to call him Father, and he calls you his child. The song puts it this way. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. Listen, you only sing it because of Jesus. No wonder we lift up his name. No wonder his is the name above every other name. Listen to me, I want to be very careful. There's many, even from behind a pulpit, that would tell us all humanity are children of God. Listen to me, it's unscriptural. That's not biblical. And I want to give a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I think the message sort of behind the thought is that God loves all of humanity. Listen, God loves all humanity. And maybe there's a little bit that we're not that much different from each other. Listen, the world has trouble, so do you. The world has a bad day at work, so do we. We have bad days at work. They have financial troubles. We go through financial troubles as well. But the thought that we are all children of God, listen to me, it's wrong. It's not true. Not because I said so. This isn't my opinion. It's because the Bible is clear. Only in Jesus are we children of God. You're not a child of God because you sit in a pew this morning. You're a child of God because of Jesus. You're a child of God because of what he's done for you. The purpose of God, the will of God that was accomplished at Calvary. Jesus' death there, his blood shed there for you and for me. So that today, God would call us his children and we get to call him Father as we've surrendered our life to him. Verse 4 again, he chose us before the creation of the world. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus to the praise of his glorious grace, verse 6, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. That's Jesus. In verse 7, the riches of God's grace, verse 8, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. It's in Christ. It's because of Jesus that you sit here this morning. Not under God's wrath, not under God's judgment, but rather instead under his grace, his glorious grace. He has lavished his grace on you. He has given to you his grace in abundance. He has been generous with his grace, all because of, in, and through Jesus. No wonder in your life, as it would be all over the world and through all eternity, His is the name above every other name. If any other name occupies your attention and your devotion, you need to be reminded it's because of His name. It's because of the one name, the only name that matters, that the grace of God, God's grace, that pardons and cleanses within, has been made available to you and to me. Verse 7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Redemption is deliverance with a price. You were the enemy's captive. You belonged, as it were, to the devil. You were objects of God's wrath. We'll see that in a moment. You lived in and under the dominion of darkness. But then God bought you. He purchased you. He redeemed you from that. And the price? The precious blood of Jesus. One writes, God's provision of redemption in Christ covers the full range of human need. Our need of forgiveness, deliverance, reconciliation, peace, love, new life, wisdom, understanding, community, acceptance, order, security, hope, and victory in our conflict with Satan and his forces. God's provision of redemption in Jesus covers every need that you and I would ever have. We've been redeemed. Bought with the price. And now we have the forgiveness of sins. God's grace lavished on us. It's greater. Greater than all our sins. This was our lesson from Wednesday. And with that comes a cleanliness that we otherwise couldn't know. All of us have an instinctive desire to be clean. But cleanliness doesn't come apart from Him. We need Jesus. Our lesson from Wednesday night, we need Him to intrude into our lives and clean us up. We need Him to disinfect our hearts, clean up our habits, vacuum our values, sweep the dirt out of our minds, launder our motives, spruce up our attitudes, and tidy up our testimonies. And here's the good news, that longing that we have for a cleanliness that looks like that, we have it. We know it in Jesus, who redeems us, who forgives us of all of our sins, and clothes us with His very own righteousness. Verse 13, you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel. Having believed, you were marked in Him, in Christ, in Jesus, with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance into the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. The language here, you've been marked with a seal. It's the first installment. It's the down payment guaranteeing our inheritance, the mark. The seal, it's the Holy Spirit at salvation. The Spirit of God took up residence inside of you. That's the guarantee of your inheritance. That was the down payment that God made, as it were, ensuring that you can count on your eternal inheritance in Him. The Holy Spirit, He's the mark. He's the seal of God's ownership on you. Marked, as it were, the property of God. By way of His Spirit, all because you were included in Christ. It all comes back to Jesus. It's in Jesus that you've been marked. It's in Jesus that you have the seal of the Spirit, the guarantee of redemption and inheritance. In Christ, the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The Holy Spirit who helps us in prayer, helps us in spiritual warfare, helps us to know victory over the enemy of our souls. Strengthens us, motivates us, empowers us, builds up the church, brings unity. The Holy Spirit who reveals to us Jesus, the very mystery of Christ. In verse 17, He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He helps us to know God better and to live in the wisdom that reflects our relationship with God. In Christ, in Jesus, because of Jesus. It's why we lift Him up today. It's why we celebrate and honor and glorify Him in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickens you, establishes you, equips you, lives inside of you, clothes you with power from on high. And listen, it's Jesus who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit. Can I remind you this morning, we're a people of Pentecost. May it be that as we lift up Jesus in this place, He draws us to Himself so that once more, once again, He can shake this place just like He did the upper room. He can fill us again. He can make there to be an outpouring again. He can bring even to us Pentecost again. Ephesians 2, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ. It's by grace you've been saved. This not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In Jesus, we're no longer dead in our transgressions. We're no longer dead in our sin. We're no longer objects of God's wrath. We are saved. We're saved from wrath. We're saved from judgment. We're saved from sin and from disobedience. We're saved from death and hell. We have been made alive. We have been raised up with Christ and even seated with Him in the heavenly realms, in Christ, in Jesus. We have been shown the incomparable riches of God's grace. We've been made the recipients of God's kindness, and though once living to gratify our own sinful desires, we are now His workmanship, created in Christ to do good. In verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ, for He Himself is our peace. In Jesus, the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility between you and God and me and God, it's been destroyed. We were once, oh, so far away, but now we have been brought near to Him. In 2 Samuel, you'll read the story of Absalom. Before Absalom rebelled against David, he killed one of his brothers. He killed one of the king's sons. He fled in banishment until finally David allowed him to return. He allowed him to come back to Jerusalem, but David determined he'd have nothing to do with Absalom. That's reasonable, isn't it? Allow him to come back, but kept away. That's not what God does. Not with you, not with me, not with us. And that's so beautifully expressed in this verse from 2 Samuel 14, from the part of the story where Absalom is about to be granted permission to return. God does not take away life. Instead, He devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from Him. One translation says it this way, but God doesn't take our lives. Instead, He figures out ways of bringing us back when we run away. We were separated from Him because of our sin. We were far, far away from Him. He should have simply swept us away. But instead, He devised a way. He figured out a way to bring us back. And in Christ, because of Jesus, He has. And He hasn't done that to now have nothing to do with us. Again, that's what David did. Fine, I'll forgive Absalom. I'll let him return. But he won't see my face. He won't be granted an audience with the king. And again, we would think that reasonable. David can forgive, but he doesn't have to have anything to do anymore with Absalom. And maybe even we'd be inclined to thinking, good for David, that he doesn't. Reasonable maybe for David, but again, not how God does. not how God responds and treats us. We were far away, but he devised a way so that we could come back, and now he has brought us near to himself. Some of you, you miss this. You accept that God has forgiven you, and you're glad that he has. But you think that because of your sin, he wants nothing to do with you. You tend to stay at arm's length, feeling uncomfortable coming near to him, sensing that he's maybe uncomfortable having you near him because you were so bad. You messed up so much. Listen to me today. I believe it with all my heart. I speak the word of the Lord to you if that's you. In Jesus, he's not just devised a way for you to be forgiven. He's made a way for you to come near to him. Listen to the word of the Lord today. Come near. Sinner, backslider, in Jesus, you can come near again. Lukewarm believer, in Jesus, you're not just forgiven. You can come near to God again. Don't you understand? Even better, perhaps now, even if just for that. No wonder his is the name above every other name. No wonder he deserves it. He and he alone deserves. Nobody else can do that for me. Nobody else makes a way for me to come near to God, to be banished no longer, separated no more. Nobody does that for me except Jesus. No church can do that for me. No preacher can do that for me. Only Jesus does that. Nobody else deserves to be lifted high like he does. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, we read this, "For through him we have access to the Father." In Ephesians 3 and verse 12, "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." There's more than just that going on here. In Christ, you were far away. You've been brought near. This isn't just relationship mending between you and God. It's relationship for people with people. In Ephesians 2, there's a Jew-Gentile thing going on. Let's read it quickly. "In Christ, you were far away. You've been brought near through the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made the two one." He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away. That's the Gentiles. And peace to you that were near. Those would be the Jewish believers. For through him we both, it doesn't matter, Jew, Gentile, saved by Jesus, because of Jesus, we both have access to the Father. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's house. Verse 22, "In him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Jesus brings down the barrier. He destroys the wall of hostility between races and color, between rich and poor, between the elite and the outcasts. He takes the two that would be contradictory and different, in conflict, in opposition, and makes of the two one, uniting them in the reconciliation that he provides, putting to death their hostility by way of his own death, bringing unity by way of the cross, making them one by making them part of God's household. Only Jesus does that. Only in him does that happen in our society. Only in Jesus does the hatred and the anger and the discord and the strife and the animosity, only in him does all that go. Only in him does the healing come. Is our culture broken by division? Is our government? Are our families? Does hatred abound? Does anger? Does discord? Doesn't it seem that everyone's just looking for the next fight? Yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. That's exactly how it is in our country. That's exactly how it is in the world. That's exactly how it is in humanity today. It's why we need Jesus. It's the understanding that as He's lifted up, He draws us to Himself. And when He does that, we are then able to experience His healing and His peace. Jesus, today we lift Him up. One road of the contrast comparing Jesus with others of our society that perhaps have had great influence. They write this: Socrates taught for 40 years, Plato for 50, Aristotle for 40, Jesus for only 3. Yet the influence of Christ's 3-year ministry infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined 130 years of teaching from these men who were among the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Jesus painted no pictures. Yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from Him. Jesus wrote no poetry. But Dante, Milton, scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by Him. Jesus composed no music. Still, Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, Bach, Mendelssohn reached their highest perfection of melody in the hymns and symphonies they composed in His praise. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter from Nazareth. His unique contribution to the race of humans is the salvation of the soul. Philosophy couldn't accomplish that. Nor art, nor literature, nor music. Only Jesus Christ can break the enslaving chains of sin and Satan. He alone can speak peace to the human heart, strengthen the weak, and give life to those who are spiritually dead. Only Jesus. Not Socrates, not Plato, not Aristotle, not Da Vinci, not Dante, not Milton, not Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, or Bach. Not any politician, not any sports superstar or Hollywood icon. Not any church, not any ministry, not any preacher. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can change people. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can redeem, rescue, and help. Only Jesus is worthy. It's why His is the name above every other name. It's why the best thing we could ever do on any given Sunday or any day of our lives is to lift up His name. It's why we do that today. Jesus has given us every spiritual blessing of God, made us to be children of God, granted us access to God's kindness, grace, and mercy, granted us even unfettered access to the very presence of God. Nobody has done, nobody can do for us like Jesus can and has. Nobody's death, nobody's shed blood has purchased our redemption. Nobody shows us grace like Jesus does. Nobody forgives us, nobody redeems us, nobody saves, nobody gives life, nobody brings peace like Jesus does. It's both how and why we lift Him up today. Recognizing that there's no one like Him, we lift Him up as we do that. Recognizing that there's no one that can do and has done like He has, we lift Him up. We tune out and we turn away from every other thing and every other one, and we lift high the name that is above every other name. We lift up Jesus. Quickly this morning, there's also this for us in Ephesians. We lift up Jesus by responding rightly to all He's done for us, all He's done in us. We're going to move quickly. Ephesians chapter 4. I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Listen, church, brothers and sisters, when you live life like that, when you live a life worthy of the calling you've received, worthy of the grace, the mercy, the redemption you've received, the salvation you've received, when you live a life worthy of that, He will be lifted up in you and through you. As you live in humility, as you treat others with a gentle and loving patience. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Every time here in this place, we choose unity over disunity, we lift them up. Every time we choose patience, bearing with one another in love, instead of fighting with one another, we lift Jesus up. Every time we choose humility and gentleness over pride and harshness, we lift him up. In Ephesians 4 and verse 13, he's given apostles and prophets. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. That's how we lift them up. So that the body of Christ can be built up, reaching unity in the faith. That's how we're built up. When there's a unity in faith that pervades throughout the church. When we're built up in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. That's how you lift him up. Begin to mature. Listen, unless I miss my guess, I speak to some who have plateaued. Some who are stagnant in your walk with God. You're not nosediving, but you're not moving either. It's just been blah for you. Jesus, yes, I love him, but he means nothing to you. There's no passionate pursuit for him. Listen to me. You lift him up as you determine, I'm going to mature in him. I'm going to grow up in him. I'm going to passionately pursue him. Verse 22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self. Do you understand? Listen to me, believer. Every time you don't do what you would have done before you were saved, every time you don't say what you would have said before you gave Jesus your heart and your life and even your mouth, how you would have responded before Jesus saved your soul and showed you mercy and grace. Every time you do different, we lift them up when we do that. We put off the old self. Each of you must put off falsehood. Speak truthfully. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer. Verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth or in the Facebook. Or in the email, or in the text, or in the Twitter. Don't let anything unwholesome come out, but only what is helpful for building others up. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. But among you, verse 3 of chapter 5, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. That's how we lift them up. When we live life that looks like that, be made new in the attitude of your minds. Put on the new self. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 1 of chapter 5, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Live a life of love. That's how we lift him up. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. Verse 10, find out what pleases the Lord. Do you understand when you do that? When you ask yourself before you do, before you say, before you respond, Lord, what would please you? When you do that and then you do what you know would please him, you're lifting him up. You're lifting up Jesus in your life. Verse 15, be careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity. Verse 17, understand what the Lord's will is. Verse 18, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, submit to one another. Listen, it's there, so I'm just going to say it. The context immediately goes to the family. Wives, do you understand? When you submit to your husband, Jesus is being lifted up in you. Husbands, do you understand? Because this is the context. When you love your wife like Christ loves the church, Jesus is being lifted up in you. make us all come to the altar right now. It surely would. Because our tendency is so often, we want to do what we want to do. We want to respond. We want to retaliate. We get upset. Our spouse makes us angry. We're bothered. We're offended. And then out come the gloves, and we're ready to have that argument. We're ready to separate ourselves and not say anything to each other for days on end. And in the meantime, Jesus not lifted up at all in that. Wives, husbands, doesn't stop there. Children, it doesn't stop there. The context is slaves and masters. We would think of it in the context of your work. You know how Jesus is lifted up? When you go into the place of work and you submit yourself, you work for your boss as unto the Lord, when you honor, when you esteem. And in that, Jesus is lifted up in you. Submit to one another. You read it later. We don't have time this morning. Verse 21, submit to one another. Now you take it from there and see what all is there about how that's practically lived out in our lives. What submitting to one another really looks like. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And put on the full armor of God. Listen, when we live right, when we respond rightly to all that Jesus has done for us and all that he's done in us, when we respond rightly to his word and live in obedience to it, when we do all that he commands us to, even just this morning, when we faithfully obey all that we're commanded to do just here in Ephesians, when we make sure that our lives, when we are diligent to make certain that our lives look exactly like what we read in Ephesians 4 and 5 and 6, when we do that, Jesus is lifted up in us and through us, and he will draw you then to himself, and as well, those influences by your testimony of Christ in you will be drawn to him as well. He will make sure through your life, through your testimony, he will make sure that those in your circle of influence are wanting to come to him. Listen, lift Jesus up today. That's what we do in this place. We lift him up because who else are we going to lift up? Who else has done for us like he has? And listen to me. We're going to lift him up. As in a few minutes we walk out those doors, we're going to make sure our lives look just like we read in his word, so that he can be lifted up in us. He can draw us, and he can draw all others around us to himself as well. Father, would you very simply help us in that this morning. Holy Spirit, this is your ministry. This is your wheelhouse, as it were. This is what you do. You glorify Jesus. So Holy Spirit, would you descend upon this place? Would you fill this place? Would you fill our lives? Because we gather this morning. We come here this morning to glorify the Lord of glory. To lift up the name that's above every other name. To lift up Jesus. Jesus, we exalt you. Oh, we praise and we magnify you. We love you this morning. We declare it boldly. No one's done for us like you have. What hope do we have if not for you, Jesus? What grace can we know? What kindness from God. We thank you, Jesus. We honor you. We esteem you this morning. We declare it's our worship. Yours is the name above every other name. And Jesus, you alone are worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. You and you alone are worthy to be lifted up. And Lord, this morning we ask for your help. Because we understand from your word, it's not just what we would do in this place, remembering, reflecting, considering what you've done for us. But it's as we would go from this place, and live out your word so that you might be lifted up in us, then not just drawing us to you, but others to you as well. Help us to lift you up in how we live. It really is true. Compared to Jesus, nothing else matters. No wonder then that His is the name above every other. No wonder that this morning we would gather in this place and we would lift Him up. No wonder we would make it our prayer that, Lord, as we go from this place, be lifted up in us so that you can draw us and others more. Oh, don't you want to be closer to Jesus? Listen, lift Him up. It's the promise of His word. You lift Him up and He will draw you to Him. Don't you want others around you to be drawn to Jesus? Don't you know they need Jesus? They don't need what they think they need. They think they need a bigger paycheck. They need Jesus. They think they need better relationships. Maybe they do, but they need Jesus most of all. They need Jesus. And as He's lifted up in us, He will draw those even around us to Him. I pray. Oh, I pray at church that this morning, this place, we've lifted Him up. And I pray that as we go from this place, He will be lifted up in our lives. And I want to pray the blessing of the Lord over you as we conclude. Would you stand this morning to receive it? I pray that the Lord helps us to lift Him high. And I pray that the Lord would bless you. Extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord. I speak it over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord of glory, Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the one whose name is above every other name, may He make His face to shine upon you, to bless you with His grace and with His goodness. And may He who is our peace turn to you and give to you His peace in Jesus' name. Would you receive that and say amen this morning? Amen and amen. God bless you today. Have a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Lift Jesus up wherever you go and whatever you do. Let Him draw Him to you and others to Him as well. We will see you next Sunday, if not before, on Wednesday. Have a great week. God bless.